We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Bert Stitt. Bert is the owner of Bert Stitt & Associates, a consulting practice engaged in providing services in the areas of facilitation, community building, and public engagement. Bert's got lots more to share with us regarding his background, and for that being said, I'm going to welcome him to the show. Bert, welcome to the show. Bert, can you share a little bit about your background with us?
Yes, I've been around for quite a while. As I mentioned to you earlier, I turned 75 this year, and I graduated from Wayne State University in Detroit in 1969, and moved back to Milwaukee and took a job with the Boston store as a copywriter, fashion copywriter for them. Shortly after I was there a little bit, one of my cellmates, one of my writing copywriter mates said, you know, they're looking for an advertising manager over at Kaleidoscope, which is which was an underground newspaper in Milwaukee, located on Brady Street. So I went over and talked to them, and they hired me, and then I ended up working for Kaleidoscope for the next 3 or 4 years until the paper folded. And there's a whole world of information about underground newspapers, recent one being Smoking Typewriters, a book all about underground newspapers, which is fascinating, and Kaleidoscope is in it. After doing that for a while, they had their offices on Brady Street, which meant that I was selling ads to the merchants on Brady Street and all around the city, and that ended up in my being the honcho behind the Brady Street festivals in the 70s, which became very extremely popular. 80,000 people would come twice a year on a Sunday, and we had artists in booths all up and down the street. On the east blocks and on the west blocks, we had a flea market. And the one thing about the festival that I was insistent upon was that there would be no amplified music, that musicians were more than welcome to come and to sit up on curbs and do whatever they wanted with music, but we weren't going to have amplified music. And that was part of because it's a neighborhood, and we wanted to keep it as calm as possible. And that worked quite well. In the late 70s, I became interested in Brady Street as a place, and I was becoming kind of more alert to the community and the health and well-being of the community, which, long story short, ended up in my being more of a community development person, and I ended up taking a job with the state of Wisconsin in 1979 as their downtown development coordinator, based on my experience and accomplishments on Brady Street. And I worked for the state of Wisconsin for 10 years as their downtown development coordinator. And in doing that, I discovered through the advice and counsel of people at University of Wisconsin Extension, the whole matter of engaging the public in a conversation. And my sense was that downtowns were in great trouble across the state at that point in time, and the big malls were stealing stores from downtowns. There was a recession going on, and all kinds of things were going on that would make it a challenge to be a downtown merchant. And I came upon this, with the extension's help, I came upon this idea of helping communities look at the future of their downtown rather than trying to fix what they thought was wrong with it. Focus more on where are we going, what do we want, and how do we envision what we want. And I did that for several years and had many accomplishments. And then in 1989, I quit the state and decided to go into business for myself, which I did, and did the same thing with communities, more communities in the state of Wisconsin, state of Illinois, and Michigan, and Minnesota. and just continued that visioning work with downtowns. And in the midst of all of that, I created the Center for Community Stewardship as a not-for-profit organization, which could be available for people who wanted to hire me and needed to pay me but didn't have a vehicle with which to solicit money to pay me because they didn't have a convenient local not-for-profit to be the pass-through. And so the Center for Community Stewardship has become a major part of my life in Madison here, and it has sponsored many, many projects, including 3 different homeless projects here, an Alzheimer's project, and many others. So I hope I haven't taken up too much time, but that's kind of the quick story.
That's really quite fascinating. So, you know, at the top of your resume, you've got this theme, and you kind of alluded to that, you know, as you went through the history here, but you mentioned it states shifting community culture via intentional stewardship. And I think that your history kind of really does a good job of explaining that. But do you want to add to that any further?
Well, sure. I'd like to underscore the importance of understanding the state of affairs in a community as a matter of culture, really more than economics or just about anything else. And that is, how do we as a community appreciate our community, or conversely, how do we not appreciate it, or how do we in fact all too often depreciate it and castigate it and basically dismiss the value and the wonder of our community. So I'm all about choosing to refocus and talk about what's possible as compared to what's impossible.
Really interesting. What are some of your core beliefs regarding the healing of our public and community conversations?
Well, I guess it's kind of a reiteration of what I just said. A very much a core belief is that it is possible to begin to think positively. And it's also important to honor the negative mind in all of this. There's really a balance here. It's not as though everything is la-la land and wonderful. And so I think it's really important to a way of constructing, in fact, a visioning session is to ask 2 questions. One being, what are your hopes and wishes for a healthy and vital future for this downtown or this community? And the other is, what are your concerns and issues about the future of this community? So they're both valid questions, and they address 2 different mindsets. There are people who think negatively. Automatically, that's the way they think. Nothing wrong with that. There are people who think positively, and they're always looking at what's possible. And that's a good thing as well. So bringing them together, what I've discovered is that if you bring them together in the same setting and ask the same question and go through the process of writing it all down with them, you will find that what people are concerned about is what other people have hope for.
Well, I can understand that. I think that there's definitely some, it makes sense. You know, there is a common ground. It's just kind of the different angle that, or the perspective that someone's viewing the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Right. The other part of it is that generally speaking, when I do one of these retreats, I always call them retreats, I encourage the community to do that retreat out of town in a different place. That's a big challenge to any community to say, oh, we're going to actually leave our businesses for a whole day and we're going to go somewhere else. And also there's a fee to attend. So I want to put value on the conversation. I want to remove the conversation so that it's not impeded by day-to-day wonderments, and I want to get real good focus there. And it's a challenge to get people to understand that and to sell them, if you will, on the idea of doing it. And what usually happens for me at this point in time is I don't have to sell them necessarily on it, because the reason they've called me in is because they've been in a kind of miasma with their community for some time, and they've been talking to people that they know around, and they've learned from other people about me and my work. and they will call me because someone that they know from some other community that has experienced the work will say, you really should call Bert.
You know, referrals, you know, word of mouth marketing is really the best kind of compliment and validation as well, as far as the quality of the work.
Not so a bad thing.
You definitely can't complain about that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about networking a little bit, because, I mean, obviously you're getting word of mouth, which is networking and relationship building. Can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Well, I would say it's kind of repetitive, but right off the bat, it was my colleague at the Department of Development, State of Wisconsin, saying to me one day, you should talk to Bob Bright over at the UW Extension. That was networking. That was one person saying to me, you should meet another person. And that was the beginning of really the story of my adult life. So that was very, very large. And beyond that, of course, is the common thread that goes through having done a few of these retreat processes and having people then who've gone through it, as I just mentioned, talking to some friends in another town that hadn't gone through it and say, you know, you should, this is what we did. And we were really happy about it. And you will get effective assistance. So here's Bert's phone number. Give him a call. Pretty much as simple as
that. Definitely makes sense. So, you know, going back to that first example that you shared right away, you commented that, you know, it was just as simple as someone said, you should go out and talk to this person. Did that person have that initial connection already, or did they make the introduction, or was it you just kind of saying, okay, well, you know, someone made this suggestion, so I'm going to act on it?
The individual who recommended it had that connection already, knew Bob Bright over at UW Extension, and was perfectly happy to say the two of you guys should get together and have a conversation. And in fact, that person sat in on our initial conversation and sort of facilitated the acquaintance.
So power of networking, mm-hmm. right? All right. So how do you stay in front of or best nurture your network or community?
Well, here in Madison right now, my world has shifted considerably in that the Center for Community Stewardship is now kind of a bigger part of my life than my actual facilitation practice. And because of that and its locality in Madison, I am a known commodity in Madison, of course. And people are calling me fairly regularly because they know my name, they know who I am, and they got some interest of some sort in what I'm doing. And I'm very active in the city. I belong to organizations. I go to the meetings. I speak every once in a while in some public way. And the creation of the Center for Community Stewardship has provided another whole launching pad for being in front of the community because of the things we do and the name recognition we have in doing them.
So really being involved and engaged in your community allows you to just stay in front of everyone, obviously.
Yeah, I'd say one of my keystone mottos is stay present.
Oh, that's good.
And if that's important, not only staying present within the community, but stay present with yourself and be aware of who you are and what you're doing and what you're feeling, even more importantly, what you're feeling. So that if I'm at a breakfast, let's say, for Downtown Madison, Inc., which happens once a month, and I go to them regularly, and I enter, you know, just engaging in small talk and coffee and what have you, and someone is kind of in within my presence circle there, I will sort of have an internal message that said, this is someone that is either looking to talk to you, or this is someone with whom you would do well to step over and say hello to. And you have to be very, very present so that you are in tune with what's going on unsaid.
That definitely makes sense. I really like that. Stay present. But you even took it a step further with you know, stay present with yourself. And I think there's a lot of, well, there is a lot of truth around that. So really good advice. Speaking of advice, what advice would you offer to the business professional who is looking to grow their network?
Stay present. be a joiner. Be sure to join organizations and, you know, take a look at what's around you and be willing to put your money down and be a committed member of an organization and more than one, several. You don't have to be doing them all full time, but it's a good idea if you're on a set of lists and if there's a couple that you are really investing your time in. And again, in Madison, and in this case, it was the Capital Neighborhoods Association, which quite a few years ago when I was new here, some people heard about my work on Brady Street and they thought that the downtown Madison's neighborhoods were in need of some serious help. And so they got a hold of me and basically said, you have to help us because I do live downtown here. And so I did. I stepped in and I sat there with others for a little while. And as things moved forward, I did whatever I could to help support it and ended up being the president of Capital Neighborhoods for 7 years and growing the organization to a very significant degree so that at this point in time, I can look at downtown Madison and point out situation after situation where Capital Neighborhoods had an impact on how this downtown has developed based on the interests and the possibilities of living downtown as compared to being in business or anything like that.
That's really interesting. I think it's quite fascinating the perspective of, you know, the living versus just the conducting business. I think that there's a different angle involved with that, but also, you know, as we align it with the topic of networking, it's different types of relationships that you're building, you know, if you're living exactly somewhere as opposed to conducting business, right? All right, Bert, so if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I'm not sure because I don't think my 20-year-old self would listen. going back to my 20-year-old self, what would I do differently at that age?
Yep. Yes. Yes.
Oh, at that age, I was working for Allen Bradley in Milwaukee. After having flunked out my freshman year at Wayne State in Detroit. And that was a big comeuppance for me because I was an honor student in high school and had no notion that I wasn't capable of handling a college curriculum. In fact, didn't have any particular appreciation for the word curriculum even. I'm going into my background a little bit because it's a big part of my life, and that is that I'm from rural Western Michigan. And in my senior year of high school, my dad, who was a preacher, a logger, a barn painter, and a few different other things, decided to take a church in Crandon, Wisconsin. So I go up to Crandon in my senior year, in October of my senior year of school, and I'm in a group of people that I don't know. And I'm on my own. And I came through it pretty well, did fine. I decided that I could have gone to Wisconsin if anybody had been available to guide me in how to apply for college and so forth. But I thought I couldn't go to Wisconsin because we hadn't lived in Wisconsin a year and we were not legally residents. And so I decided to go to Wayne State in Detroit, which is where I always wanted to go anyway, and I went there and paid non-resident fees because I didn't live there. And I don't think I'm on point with your question particularly.
That's okay.
Other than to say that life is an adventure. You know, at 20 years old, life is an adventure. And be open to the adventure, I think is what I, and be, and in my case, be more open. I could have been less timid. I even though I have a very strong personality, I could have been less wary of what was going on around me. But of course, having gone through a freshman year and flunking out causes you to step back a little bit and be just a little less, should we say, cocky about who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, that's not bad advice there. What book are you reading right now?
What book am I reading? I'm reading a number of different books. The Leadership Journey is one that's right here on my desk. So, How to Master the Four Critical Areas of Being a Great Leader. And I've just read that recently. So.
Yep, I'm here. I'm just jotting this down. How to Master the Four Critical Areas of Being a Great Leader. Mm-hmm. Great. And the Leadership Journey, those, obviously focused on leadership, quite intriguing pieces of information here. Okay, so any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
It's repetitious. Stay present. Be sure, and presence is a lot of things. It's sending a note to somebody and thanking them for what they did. It's stepping out of your door and walking over to say hello to someone, even on your street or in your community. It's getting up in the morning and going out into the world and being present in gatherings of people where there's an intention of mutual interest and meeting and greeting, for sure.
I think all of those are great, and I love the emphasis on being present. And then you also commented on with intention, and I think those combined are extremely powerful. It's a strong message overall. Yeah. Be present, but with intention.
And
very nice.
If I may just interject,
Bert,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, if you want to elaborate on that, that's fine.
I do. I just want to say something that I think is meaningful to your, if you will, your audience, and that is in Milwaukee in particular, the historic Third Ward was a client of mine when I was at the state. People there heard about my work and they called me and I went and spoke with them about what they wanted to do with the Third Ward. And in that particular case, we did an all-day visioning retreat for the historic Third Ward. This would have been about in the middle 1980s. And we did it at the American Club in Kohler. And if you went back and looked at the record of that meeting, you would see that everything that's happened in the Third Ward was envisioned.
That's fantastic. And our office right now is located in the Third Ward. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I noticed that, right? I did notice that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really evolved. I mean, I worked down here in the early 2000s, and now I'm back here. And even in that short period, the change has been just fascinating.
It's a powerhouse. It's a powerhouse. And I knew that. I knew that inherently. And that's the other thing about pay attention to what you know, not brain wise, but what you feel, And when I was living in Milwaukee and I would ride my bike, and I didn't have a car when I lived there. I rode my bike everywhere. And I would ride my bike through the Third Ward and I could feel the power of that place and that there was something very important about it. And in my own head, I envisioned it as a thriving place. And then I had the opportunity, coincidentally, to actually be of service to guiding the reality of that place becoming achieving its ultimate capability.
What you just said reminded me of my favorite quote, which is by Vincent van Gogh. First I dream of painting, and then I paint my dream.
There you go. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And that's what I do in a facilitated, an organized way with groups of people. And I think with the Third Ward, I think we had 70 people go to that vision session.
Wow. Fascinating. So, Bert, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
They can call me at 608-219-0075, or they can email me, bertstitt@tds.net, T as in Tom, D as in David, S as in Sam. Either of those should work.
All right, and we will include that information in the show notes. Wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to bertstitt for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking. We'll be right back.